Our gospel passage this morning contains this timeless parable about a corrupt authority figure who doesn't care about acting justly on behalf of a vulnerable person, and the woman who persists in spite of this injustice and apathy. Now, this unjust judge would be a particularly appalling figure for Jesus' listeners. Familiar as they were with the scriptures and with God's call for people to care for the most vulnerable among them, particularly for widows and orphans, for people from foreign lands and people who were poor. So the failure of this judge to work for the benefit of this vulnerable widow in society, to act justly towards her, is indeed a failure to follow God's justice. And so Jesus shares this parable with his followers, and being no stranger to disrupting folks' expectations, the widow in this story flips the script somewhat. Through her persistence, through continually coming before this judge and demanding justice, eventually he relents, and she receives the justice that she's seeking. And it's clear from the words of the judge in the story that this doesn't come about because he's had a change of heart. Rather, he simply wants her to stop bothering him. He doesn't want her to, as it says in our translation, to wear him out. But we lose a little something in this English translation. If we go back to the Greek, the word there that here we hear is wear him out is a little bit closer translated to give him a black eye. Like, she is being very disruptive through her words and her actions as she pursues and persists in pursuing justice to the point where this judge can no longer see himself as separate from this situation. He's got some skin in the game now, because if he doesn't bring about justice, what's going to happen to him if this widow keeps coming and bothering him? She isn't afraid to act in ways that make the judge concerned for even his own well-being. And although this story, as we lean into that more literal translation, might seem really out of step with who we understand Jesus to be, if we have this image of Jesus in our minds as primarily just this, you know, nice guy, we find in the Gospels that Jesus reveals through his life, through his ministry, that the primary defining characteristic of God is not God's niceness. It's his love. It's God's desire for justice. It's her compassion. It is all of these traits. And it's important for us to remember that when folks pose the question of what would Jesus do, that flipping tables is an acceptable answer. Jesus' life reveals that this is the characteristic of God, to be loving and compassionate and just. And it is neither loving nor compassionate nor just to turn a blind eye to practices or systems, situations or people that are set on maintaining their power or comfort through oppression or abuse or excluding of God's children. Jesus reveals through his life that persisting after God's justice, the justice that marks the kingdom of God, seeking after it in this world will disturb or afflict those who are comfortable with the status quo. The peace that God desires for people to know, the peace that passes all understanding, isn't a mere keeping of the status quo of the orders and systems as they are, but rather working to bring about change that ensures that all people experience the fullness of life that God desires for them. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to attend our Greater Milwaukee Synod's Fall Leadership Conference, and this year's theme was the theme of gender justice, both within our society and within our church. And you may or may not have heard that in 2019-2020, that the ELCA is celebrating what's kind of shorthanded as 50-40-10, that we're recognizing 50 years of Lutheran women being ordained in the United States, 40 years of women of color being ordained, and 10 years of LGBTQIA+ individuals being able to serve within our ELCA denomination, which is a laudable anniversary to recognize. And yet, as part of our time together as we spoke on issues of gender justice, one of the sessions was opened with a video called Seriously, Women in Ministry. It was created by the North Carolina Synod of the ELCA, and it was a video that featured male clergy who had lended their voice to the project, reading live before the camera a collection of statements that had been made to their female colleagues, the female clergy of the North Carolina Synod, and kind of recording live their reactions and responses to just the awful stuff that some people thought it was appropriate to say. It's available on YouTube. I recommend you track it down. It is both an amusing and really kind of a sad and disturbing video to watch. But it opened this time together and kicked off some small group conversations where women who had been ordained in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and the teens shared their experience of adversity, of difficulty, as some of the statistics were shared about the continued disparities between men, women, and those who don't identify on the gender binary within their experiences of seeking to serve God's people and the church. And it was a reminder for us that this work of persisting, of seeking after God's justice in this world, isn't just an us versus them, but even us within the church. We're on this journey. We're working it out together. We've got forward progress in front of us. And it was a reminder for me, too, as I was preparing the message for this Sunday, that for some of us, Jesus' words where he proclaims that God will quickly grant justice to those who call on God, that those words might ring a little hollow. That each of us can likely point to examples in our lives and our communities of continued examples of injustice or corruption, suffering, division, or oppression, and wonder, how long, O God, will these things go on? And perhaps that's the reason that Jesus shares this parable this morning with his followers. The parable of this persistent widow who, in the face of adversity and apathy, continues seeking after the justice that she knows is a part of God's desire for her life and for her community. Because we hear even in that story that just because her will aligns with God's desires doesn't mean that that unjust judge doesn't stand in her way. And as Jacob revealed in our first reading, sometimes our faith means struggling and enduring through that struggle. As Paul's words to Timothy reminded and encouraged Timothy about the need to endure through times both favorable and unfavorable. Or as words that we might draw from a more modern psalmist, Tom Petty, you take it on faith, you take it to the heart, but the waiting is the hardest part. God knows the struggles that we go through in our lives. And Jesus came into this world both to show us how the will of God, the kingdom of God, is centered around caring for the needs of people in the midst of vulnerable or difficult situations, but also to reveal how God is with us in the midst of this struggle. God does not just give the command to his followers to persist and seek after justice in this world and then sit back on high waiting to see if we can pull it off. God continues to get into the mix with us, to get down into the brokenness and mess of our world. God has skin in the game, if you will, friends, and continues to work in our lives and in our communities to bring about healing and transformation, wholeness and justice. God is about this work this day and every day, and invites us as the people of God to join in this journey, to work together, to continue to persist in praying and working towards a world where our relationships and our communities more fully reflect the divine justice of God's will, caring for people in need and vulnerable situations, and establishing practices that welcome all to God's table, in order that all of God's children might take part in this movement and ministry of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.